ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another very exciting, very thrilling episode of Thunder Metal Reviews. We're talking about Clutch. Clutch, Clutch, Clutch. As always, which you probably inferred because it's Clutch, I am David Pizzo. With me are Ben, Gabe, and Tracy, who are also ready to clutch, I assume. How are you gentlemen doing?
Keep on keeping on the low road.
That's it. There it is, Tracy
nailed it. Yep. Anyone else want to weigh in here on how Tracy's doing or you're doing?
He's clutching his armchair. He's like white knuckling it. He's preparing himself for the...
He's white knuckling, for sure.
The blast.
He's as proud of that as he should be. That's what that was all about.
Well, we're not listening to Prog today. So it is what...
Not today.
Really? Oh, man.
Maybe not you, but I did listen to Prog today.
Additional Prog supplemental homework.
Every day is Prog day.
Every day is Prog day.
Every day is Prog day. Except today is Clutch day because I decided we needed more Clutch. So this blast is for Clutch albums that I picked because I hadn't picked them before.
Jacked like a surprise on this one. Just like
I mean, you know, we're still missing a couple, like Pure Rock Fury. But anyway,
for now.
Out of a discography of 13 albums, after this blast, we will have done 10 of them. So,
I have my reasons, Ben.
You know, February 2024.
Anyway. You know, I am what I am. I is what I is, in the words of Popeye. So,
I think would appreciate.
What did you call him? A nuclear-powered carnival barker, whatever he said.
I don't know if I came up with that, but that is apt.
Yes. So anyway, I'm very excited, and I picked Elephant Riders, which is when I got on the ride, and I picked Beale Street to Oblivion, which is when I moved to Murray and was one of the two Mike Shower albums, and I picked Strange Cousins to the West, which has all kinds of loaded meaning for me in a Tracy-esque way also, and then I picked Book of Bad Decisions, which I have very fond memories of being in a slum pit hellhole with Ben Lindsay in East St. Louis. Dude, just everything about that night, it was like, wait, what? Anyway, so Book of Bad Decisions, East St. Louis edition. So I have very fond memories of that.
Special guest, Seven Dust.
And then we saw them in St. Louis. We saw that tour, like, anyway, yes. So, got to see that a couple times. So, because I saw that exact same tour, again, right before the pandemic in Clarksville. So I saw that run twice. So a lot of Clutch. My poor wife. Three times, four times. Anyway, the point is, it's a band I like, and we're talking about it now.
I mean, there are worse things to torture somebody with.
Oh my God, yes. I mean, death. I listened to a death playlist today. I'm like, this is harder than Clutch. That's fat. Look it up. I know Boston doesn't get any kickbacks from this, but I don't know.
Yeah, this is three lacking of any breakdown in it whatsoever.
Gabe, you reviewed Slaughter Beach, right? But not that blast. Is that right?
No, I wasn't here for that. And I kind of wish I had been, to be honest. Because I feel
it's
like
fun, man.
This is like a grab bag discography blast, it feels like, because it was just like stuff that you hadn't done yet.
Yes.
Whereas I feel 100%. Like the first one probably had like a little bit more curated, a little bit more logic to it.
These are Clutch albums. That was
but until we figure out time travel, I think I'm going to just be happy with what I get. And it was kind of interesting for me going into, because I think that Elephant Riders might have been my first that I heard. I might have heard it like even back in high school, because my friend Jeremy, shout out Jeremy, was very into Clutch back then. In addition to being like one of the only metalheads I knew at the time. But so it's kind of like a throwback to that.
I'll take that. I love it. Yeah, that was a fun blast. These are still good albums, but you are right. I picked my favoritist. Though now I looked at the grades. I'm like, I graded these way too low. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it, Tracy.
Now you get to make up for it here.
And I guess.
Keep Gabe's, the spread closer and closer.
Gabe's marginal notes. You all are liars.
I'm preparing for the massive grade inflation that's going to happen. Like,
someone's
going to have to step up and, you know, represent the dean's interest here.
I'm dialing in on the truth. You can't handle the truth. Yes. I know the dean's going to make an appearance. One thing I can count on is that F. Holster, while still ruthless in all environments, happens to like Clutch. So I feel.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Ethoser will remain hostered for this.
This is the Baroness,
not be as high as you necessarily think, though.
Well, no, but you've hit me with some of that before. You lack some of my absurd fangirl enthusiasm for certain brands.
Exactly.
But this is still not seventh tier new metal. So I know.
Incredibly true.
And their albums are short-ish. So, you know. Mm-hmm.
There's a little saving grace there for you.
I also feel like some of the bands that Ben kind of likes are bands that are like Clutch, but they're the original. So anyway, I feel like we've talked about this band a lot. I adore them.
Yeah.
The rest of you all adore / tolerate them.
You have definitely made me, like, I heard Book of Bad Decisions in 2018, because of course 2018.
But of course you did.
You have, my introduction to Clutch really was you with that first blast, and then everything we've done since then, Clutch related, we saw them, you know.
You're damn right we did.
In July, which was a pretty badass show. But interesting enough, it hit me today listening to From Bill Street to Oblivion. Sure. Kind of like, I was talking before the pod, like these guys kind of like a comp popped in my head that I was like, And I started thinking about it. It fits really well. These guys, to me, sound like a modern-day ZZ Top.
I think that's fair. I won't disagree with that.
It's like just kind of like how they play, and they're just kind of like, it's fun. And seriously, and they just...
I understand this is basically just
rock. Moments in there and just go.
It's heavy blues, so yeah, that's
what it's heavy blues. Yeah. But I would argue that that's what metal was, which is why I feel like
it started out as. That's not what
it's all a anymore. It's all a degree continuum kind of thing. And sure. You know, I'm not going to point fingers over here, but Ben Lindsay's favorite album of the year from last year was certainly a heavy blues album, if there ever was one.
Indeed,
you know, so that's still very much happening.
It is still occurring in the present.
But also, you know, we were talking about before, like, is this even metal? I would say that parts of this, like, you know, they veer enough away from sort of what became metal, for where I would say it's really, really open who this might appeal to. You know, it's not like,
that's so true.
You know, yeah, you could say maybe metalheads are going to gravitate towards this because they, you know, their music kind of has roots in blues, but I don't think it's necessarily, you know, a metalhead's blues band. It's a, you know, some of it, because of how like quality it is, it's like, I don't know, like fans of blues band. Like, I don't know.
For sure. I know. I fucking love it. It's got distortion though. But anyway, and there's weird sci-fi shit. And I think, again, Tracy's made this argument. If you subjected a civilian to this, many of them would be like, this is, I mean, they could probably distinguish between this and
so
Children of Bodom or A Cradle of Filth, but so it's still...
I have in a scenario where we've been with friends.
Oh, do you? You've done some testing.
Well, where like they'd be like, hey, play this, and I would just drop a Clutch song in, and they wouldn't even speak up, just play, and they wouldn't ever like it wouldn't.
No, my wife even, I told you, it's the one that's permissible in nearly any. Are you the one Tracy always wants to play the things at dinner parties? And anyway,
it started with Ben, and then I made the comment. And then you made, and then immediately he's like, "It's Tracy's now."
It's now Tracy's. I feel like it was a thing Ben said once, but then you said it.
Put his dirty avian paws on it. I didn't want it anymore.
Ben is like, "No dinner parties are forbidden now."
Ben has said it like 3 or 4 times about
probably like 300 or 400 times.
About some doomy ass like depressing album. It's like dinner party music, and then I mentioned Scorpions, and then it's me like, "Damn it, Tracy."
But Tracy, see, I think you're right. Now I remember Ben saying it over and over and over, but the minute you said it was Scorpions, it was over. Yeah, it's in my mind, it's just a Tracy problem.
Dinner parties jumped the shark once the Scorpions were getting played. You know, it's like, no.
What kind of a dinner party is this? Anyway,
Ben was saying ironically, that's what it is.
Damn it, Tracy. Anyway, well, you can play Clutch at a dinner party and wear cheetah pants, and no one will say anything.
David's got the dinner party cooties now.
You're damn right. One day, the dinner party shall commence. Shit. Well, Clutch is a band, and we know who they are. Should we get some stats on the first one? I would say we get into it. Let's just get into it.
So, the Elephant Riders, it's their third full length, and their only one on Columbia Records. It was released on April 14th, 1998. Runtime of 51 minutes and 3 seconds. Jack Douglas was the producer, the personnel on the album, Neil Fallon on vocals, Jim Salt on guitars, Dan Mains on bass, John Paul Gaster on drums, and Delfeo Marcellis on trombone.
Fuck this album, yo. This is when I got on the Clutch Ride.
This is the album Clutch got on the Clutch Ride, right?
Kind of, yes. I mean, Blast Tyrant is so archetypical what they become, but I feel like you can already see it here. I don't know. The evolution, we've done everything except they're self-titled, I think, of the early albums. So you can sort of see the arc. And we haven't done Pure Rock Fury, which comes between this and Blast Tyrant. But I would argue the zaniness and the goofiness really comes in here in a big way. And the chunkiness and some, I don't know. Part of it is we've talked about this other albums we entered on, whether it's Rest in Peace or Seasons in the Abyss. The album you enter on has a huge effect on how you see a band. And for me, it was very much this album. And I was fucking in love with this in 1998 and saw them in a venue that was the size of my asshole. Like it was like, right. They were like right fucking there. So I really dialed in on them in a big way and then went back before this. But so for me, this is when Clutch began. And I feel like their shit got better after this. I mean, this already was fucking, man, I love this record, but it isn't Blast Tyrant or I would argue Book of Bad Decisions, but that's okay. It was, God, what is 1998? 700 years ago. My daughter is like, this is the late 20th century. I'm like, God damn it. So wait, how long ago is that? 26 years?
26.
Man, that's a hot minute. Anyway.
This is also not Transnational Speedway as well. I'll give it that a
second. No, it's not. No. You can see the arc from self-titled.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as weird as that first one, but it definitely has some of that weirdness.
The record is weird, dude.
It's pretty weird.
It's weird.
Green Buckets, anybody? Anyway.
I'm with you, dude. No, this record is fucking bizarre, and I love it. It's absurd.
But it is musically much better. That first one. I think that my issue with it is that it remains kind of one note. Like it is kind of a one trick pony, and that's okay because it's just the beginning for them, really. But it just feels like it feels like a little bit of a formula. Like they get kind of where they want to be, but they're not straying too far from that or like trying anything too crazy. I mean, I think that I'm glad they, you know, made it out of that hole of the first album, it's got charm and it kind of is of its time, but like, it's really not very good in terms of the vocals, and the vocals get so much better.
Yes, they do. Certainly by this point.
They're not there. Well, they're not there. I don't think they're there in this album either, but like they get there.
They're on the way. You can see the transition. No, Blast Iron is the breakout, but I think even already here, given just grunting at you, what's happening on the first record. I admit it, Gabe, that record is rough. And two is the second one, the self-titled one. It's pretty rough too. And I'm fond of songs from that era, but I feel like the stuff from here forward is much better.
Well, this sort of have to break with you guys because I think that Transnational Speedway really kicks the shit out of this.
I know you think that because you're a weirdo.
Yep. Well, I mean, if we sensibly, and I don't want to necessarily do this, the first one is Way Stoner Rock. And is it as musically impressive as this? I will agree with Gabe, no, because like the playing on this is much better than it is on that one. But I like the songs on that. Actually, this is where you can kind of see Clutch, you know, looking back in hindsight, becoming the Clutch that they are today is on this one. You can see like seeds of that in some of the lyrics in Transnational Speedway League. But if you play Transnational Speedway League and Sunrise on Slaughter Beach, it would be a little confusing. If you put this in there, you would see the transition. Now, as I said earlier, once we are done tonight, we will have done all of them but three. The other three are the early albums. We don't have this Clutch, the self-titled second album, Jam Room, the album after this one, and Pure Rock Fury, the album before Blast Time. So we're missing a little bit of that transition. But here you do see a lot of funk elements and other stuff coming into this. And of course, a big old heaping teaspoon of the blues.
Don't worry, I'm going to blast you with that and Slow Hole to China, which is how I would fill that out, because that's album length. I will get every Clutch album that exists, so I'll make it hot.
Before the end of the year, he's just like, it's happening.
That is a promise. I will end Clutch forever the way I ended Fear Factory and Slayer.
I like this turn that they do with this album compared to Clutch and Transnational Speedway. I just enjoy this kind of more groovy blues rocky thing they got going on than what they did with that. And I'm glad they went with this because, I mean, it adds to their vibe, just kind of zaniness that I think just adds a nice over the top, just kaleidoscope of flavorful sound is what I would call it.
To me, this is, as a transitionary record, this one sits really close to Primus. A lot less funky than Primus, but just the vibe gives off very similar to that, which is a band we have not done.
Yelling with Seas of Cheese. I think we should, though. I don't know. We do what we fucking feel like on Thunderdome. So I feel like some Primus would be awesome because I sent you all that cut. Didn't I send you all that them hit the covering fucking yes. Master of Puppets? I'm like, oh shit, guys. Anyway, I would love to do some of that.
No, I think it's, I mean, as the other like Gen Xer, the
oldest. Yes, indeed.
Of course, I think we should do some Primus. And to be fair, my love for Transnational Speedway like probably has a lot to do with that's the one that I got on the ride.
Yeah, so, I know it is. You're an earlier adopter than me.
Yeah.
It happens.
Ben was an original adopter. He used
I know he's clutcher than I am. He's older than me and he's more clutch. I admit. I like if this were Korea, I would pour his drinks forever. I get it.
Nah. You love them more than I do. So
I'm so into them.
Ben was the one that wore the crown, but you stole it from him. That's what it is.
I just like clutch a lot. I am not ashamed to admit
it. It is you as a person, David.
It is who I am as a person. Look, they're way worse. Imagine if I were this into like Mayhem. Like you'd be worried about me.
I would be worried about you.
And not you'd be like, Burzum. I don't know. Dude.
Guys, I think we should have intervention.
Iced Earth. Anyway. Oh shit. Yes, this is a band and I like it. And this is when I got on the ride. And so I like this record. I assume it's about time for me to tell you I like all the songs.
Just about. I will say I also agree with Gabe that like Neil's singing is better on this one than on Transnational Speedway League, although it is not to where he gets in the later albums we do, where he's one of my favorite vocalists.
Now, you do want to talk about some. He does have some weird vocal phrasing on some of these songs, like Wishbone.
Oh, yeah. He's a fucking weirdo. He doesn't give a fuck what you.
But you do know it is kind of interesting how he changes his vocal tones throughout all these albums, just constantly.
Oh, yeah. And then he has neck surgery, and no, he's a credit to the race. That race being human being or whatever he is. He's my favorite vocalist. Period.
Don't you bury him? God.
I would if I could. What if I could?
Have you told him how you felt? No.
I have through album purchases. I didn't pirate any of this shit.
I was about to say, David is personally responsible for sending Neil's kids through college. That's what that is.
I did what I could. Yeah. These songs are good. God, I love this opener. Oh, are we talking about songs? I feel like
we're
talking about songs. We have like three more of these to go. So, I love that opener. It is so fucking heavy and fun and cool. That whole run of that through Soap Makers is just great. I like all of these, all of them. But I love that first run. And then I do love the sort of Wishbone, Cracker Jack and the Dragonfly. That song is badass. It's just heavy and chunky and fun. But I mean, this whole album is only what, 51 minutes? Did I remember that? 50 minutes. I was close. Which has not quite been approved, but close. You should ride this ride. This is fun. Look at that album cover. Fuck the Confederacy.
The Elephant Riders. I enjoyed the run from Alpha Makers openers to Soap Makers, that 1-2-3-4 track run there. The back half is all right. Dragonfly is awesome. I hate the 3-minute gap. And then the back end song isn't bad, but I wish I could just do the Dragon.
Sorry, it's 1998. I'm sorry.
In the age of streaming, they should be like, all right, we're going to skip. We're going to remove this shit here and just.
No, that's a little frustrating. The medium.
Well, they do it for some albums. For some albums, they don't.
Tracy, 12 minutes is a normal track for you.
No, a normal track that has music, yes, but there's like a 4-minute section of nothing.
What if it was 3 minutes of Dream Theater?
Cool.
Is that okay? Cool.
It's better than silence.
Okay. Well, sure. Anyone else?
He's got a point there.
He's got a point.
I will jump in here. I actually think that my favorite half is the second half. Maybe that's not a surprise to anybody, but so I think the opener is still good, and the Soap Makers is probably my favorite track on the album. But Yeti is really good. Wishbone is really good. Cracker Jack is really good. Dragonfly would be good if it didn't have that stupid pause in the middle of it, because you know Secret Tracks or 90s is Get Out. So
they are guilty.
But those would be my picks.
You're just jealous that I have a Secret Track and you don't.
Yes.
So this is a clutch album. So almost all the tracks are good. But really, there's one standout track, and it is the Yeti.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's number one. What's number two?
Number two is From Bill Street to Oblivion, the eighth full-length album by them. Came out on March 20th of 2007. Runtime of 48 minutes and 18 seconds on DRT Entertainment. Joe Baresi is the producer. And the personnel on this one are Neil Fallon, vocals, rhythm guitar, Tim Soult, lead guitar, Dan Mains on bass, John Paul Gaster on drums, Mick Schauer on Hammond B3, piano, and Jorge Clavinet, Brian Hinckley, additional guitar, and Eric O'Blanner, Horner harmonicas.
This album dropped right before I moved to Murray, which is very close to Memphis. And I went to Memphis a bunch after I moved here. So this album feels like moving to Murray, which was like going west and almost being shot. So
that's the experience.
Just in terms of my early association with coming to terms with the riverine hellscape I was moving to, this is very much in that wheelhouse. And I love the keyboard shit that Schauer added. I was a huge fan of Robot Hive Exodus, as you know, from my stupid high grade I gave it. And it's very effective here. I love a good church organ happening for no reason. I also love the whole Devil in Me. That whole story is so fun. Anyway, I never liked this quite as much as I loved maybe Blast Tyrant, but that's a very high bar. So I'm a fan of this record. Got me through an important part of my life.
So not to put too fine a point on it, but this is either the best or the second best Clutch album.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I love this. This is essentially a love letter to the blues.
It is.
Some other stuff in there, but like I ate this up with a spoon. I mean, you know, this is so good. I love the incorporation of the organ. It swings in the right places. It has groove in the right places. I mean, it's just, God damn, this is a great album.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'll agree. And this is the album that kind of the ZZ Top comp really popped in my head on this. I was like,
yeah,
okay, I'm definitely fucking feeling it here. And it's just, it's got this nice little twist to it. It's almost got this jazzy feel to it even. It's just kind of like, I think the organs add such a touch to it. Then I think it's better incorporated here than it was on Robot Hive Exodus, right? Just trying to remember remember the name of that album. Because I think on that one, like, you see where that kind of comes into play, but I think this is really where they cement Schauer's like role with a band. It's kind of sad you only get two albums of it, but I feel like it's much more incorporated here, and it's just such a fun flair that it's like, it reminds you kind of a Jerry Lewis Great Balls of Fire. It's almost on it.
Sure.
So I think I had a different experience of this album than everybody else, because number one, I couldn't stop thinking that, you know, this is a metal podcast and we review metal records, and this is not a metal record by no stretch of the imagination. But that said, I think it may be one of Clutch's best albums because it hangs together very well, being, you know, blues and nothing but blues. You know, my personal enjoyment is what I consider when I try to grade these things. So I think it wasn't one of the ones that I enjoyed the most, but it's not to say that it wasn't good. I just think it's like very straight ahead for blues. And like, you know, if this is not a blues band and they're giving a love letter to the blues, that's fine. But I might be more interested in it and might come back to it more if it were doing something that was different. And for me also, like, it kind of lacks on its face a lot of the weirdness of some of the previous records, which I think is like what sets them apart when they're doing something like blues, which has been done like a million times. And like, there's nothing wrong with the blues, but I used to have a joke with my friend from grad school, and we played some music together, including a blues. And we would say, yeah, the blues is so fucking easy. Like, anybody can play it because it all sounds the same, you know? And of course it's not true, but you know, the form is so, you know, ready and repeatable. And like, they do have, you know, Clutch does have a massive discography, and they have written a lot of songs using blues as kind of like a template, that it shows you that you can be creative with it, but you can also just do the same thing over and over again and nobody will notice. And, you know, what I'm looking for when I'm listening to Clutch is to look for that thing that I notice and to look for that kind of, that kind of enjoyment. So that may be a little bit different, maybe a little controversial, but that's just how I took it.
I do agree with you in the fact that this doesn't have the high class weirdness that it's on a lot of other.
Yeah,
it comes back.
It certainly does, and that's one of the things that I love about Clutch, just how like out there Neil will get with his lyric writing, and everything, and just the incorporations of like alternate history and sci-fi and all that stuff. Again, not on this album, but that's a fair point.
Yeah, but man, I love the Americana shit on here. Fucking John Brown's eyes. This album really dials in one of the things I love about Clutch, and that is taking America, sharpening it, and shoving it in her fucking neck, which is a little better than the next album with Abraham Lincoln. I don't know. Like, I appreciate how very, very American Clutch is in a way that is very un-cliche, I would say, while still being very true. Is this metal?
Very Tidewater.
Say again?
I said it's very Tidewater.
You're damn right it is. So, yep. Man, Clutch has gotten me through some shit. I have this album cover. This is one of my favorite ones, actually. I don't even know what the fuck it is. What, a tree that's shiny and a door? Anyway. Any thoughts?
There's a big ass, like, call on the bottom, like, inside of it, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he made an agreement with the devil, and he's not honoring it. Fucking Faust.
Of course.
Faust. Yeah, Faust.
But I agree. It's just kind of missing a little bit of, the weirdiness that you typically associate with Clutch, but I think it's made up for in the quality you get off of this. Like,
yeah.
Vin said, like, this is probably one or two. This is probably three for me, I would say, just of what I've done, three or four. Because I wouldn't put it over two for sure, two albums for sure. And I don't know if it would beat another one. Guess we'll see when we get there.
Guess we'll see.
All of them. So just to jump in there.
All right, I'll drink to that.
I'm going to say all of them as well.
Okay, keep drinking. I'm going to say all of them with some shout outs to, I fucking love the opener. God, I love The Devil in Me. That song is so badass. That whole run of probably One Eye Dollar, but certainly Rapture of Ridley Walker to the end is so good. Fucking good.
What about Bang Bang Bang? Vamanos.
That song is a house favorite, I have to say, in this house here. Was that Electric Worry? Is that what song that is in? Yeah, no, of course. And they play that live still.
Yeah.
I love A Possum Minister, and Shiny Cadillacness is fucking so good.
Black Umbrella is good.
Closers. Yeah, that whole end run is, you know, this whole,
the whole album is good.
Oh, album's good. Gabe's about to deflate. Deflate.
I liked some of those songs too. And you know, Electric Worry, Black Umbrella, Mr. Shiny Cadillacness. And to name two that nobody else mentioned, these are the other ones that I thought were cool: Power Player and Child of the City.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are fun.
I'm a power player. Get your hands off me! You don't know who I am. Nah, I guess it's that for that. And then we did the very next album.
Indeed. Album number 9, Strange Cousins from the West. Released on July 13th, 2009, at least in the United Kingdom, July 14th in the United States. Released on Weathermaker Music. Jay Robbins was the producer. The band, Neil Fallon, vocals, guitars, Tim Soltz, guitars, Dan Mains on bass, John Paul Gaster, drums and percussion. No additional musicians on this
one. Yeah, this was fresh one without Mike Shower. I want to pull a Tracy. This dropped as my mother was dying, so I associate this very much with sort of that period. Damn, that's how it goes, man. You have those albums.
Yeah, doesn't, no, but
Ben won't shoot it down in the street.
No, it just But I was just saying, like, it's good to have those albums, but also there's moments like when you get into those albums and you're like, it takes you back there too.
This one does. This one is hard for me. This is the hardest Clutch album for me for that reason. Like, I associate it so much with her. I mean, my God, it starts with Motherless Child.
Yeah.
Like, just the whole. And it also, I think, until you get to Psychic Warfare, leans the hardest into America slitting its children's throats. I mean, this album is grim in a lot of ways that I think I almost appreciate it more now than I did then. But yes, Tracy, I associate very much with that time, and it's hard. So while I like this album, I like all Clutch albums, this one's hard for me in a way that some of the other ones aren't. Just as it's cool, though. It has some cool songs on it that they still play live. And I think some of their most thoughtful songs are on this album.
A couple what?
They're most thoughtful.
Oh.
In terms of philosophical. And this one's kind of subdued. I mean, this one is certainly not Earth Rocker, which, you know, they toured with Motorhead and amped it up. And is not exactly sci-fi-y. I don't know. I feel like this one is their sort of slowest, most philosophical one. And I like it. But it's also very sad.
The slowness didn't really bug me, I would say. Like, this album, I think, appealed to me more than the previous two because of its compositions. Like, they're just more interesting.
I agree with that.
It's also just really groovy. Like, it's just a groovy, groovy album, and it's psychedelic. It has, like, these psychedelic moments to it. And I didn't mind listening to it again when it came around. I was just like, all right, here we go. So I think that it kind of combines skillful playing, interesting writing, just like grooviness, and still maybe a little bit of that weirdness that, you know, maybe that psychedelic stuff coming through. It's a little dark. Maybe that's why it appeals to me as well.
It's definitely dark. I agree. It's one of the darker ones. It was the right album for the right time.
Well, now that you guys have like had a love fest over it, allow me. I do agree that the playing on all of these is excellent. Clutch is a fantastic band. They do slowly inject the weirdness that really kind of takes off over the next couple of albums. But coming off of Bill Street to Oblivion, this just ain't it. I mean, there's some good stuff on here. There's still some good songs, but man, it kind of, and that is completely unfair to this album as a standalone. But after coming off of From Bill Street to Oblivion, this one, you know, yes, it just didn't have it for me. Of course, I didn't have like a major like transitionary life experience to tie it to either.
Yeah, me neither. And I also have like zero context for it compared to you guys.
I agree with Dan. This is a little bit of a step down from Bill Street to Oblivion. And I feel like it's almost like with Max Shower Out, they're trying to like, all right, how do we get back to kind of like our roots of it? And there's a couple of songs I think they really stick the landing with. And I think it kind of miss at parts on this one. This is like, just feels just slightly different compared to like what they put prior to this in terms of like when they made the switch on their Elephant Riders, like we talked about. Like, this one feels kind of like just slightly a little off. And I see why this one has such a strong attachment to David.
I am what I am.
Now, I will say, I think some of the lyrics for the song are some of the funniest, for this album, are some of the funniest, though.
Yes, it's thoughtful. Or are we the garbage? Who's to say?
Every time I heard the Abraham Lincoln one, my mind went to either Daniel Day-Lewis Abraham Lincoln or Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Both are valid. Yeah, Clutch allows you to have both. Just to have a band embrace the 1860s but not embrace the Confederacy is glorious to me.
I 100% agree with that, especially to play the style of music that they do.
Yes! I want to drive the General Ulysses S. Grant over the Robert E. Just, anyway, yes. I appreciate their commitment to the Union enduring.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, there's still some really great songs on this album. It's still a Clutch album overall.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, this album is a lot more spinnable than, I'm going to go off on a limb and say, maybe what our next blast is.
Everything in Mastodon's discography, yeah.
No. Yeah. I don't go that far.
I would.
Well, you ain't got taste, sir. That's all I'm saying.
Here we go.
Carver, here you we are. Go.
I'll throw another Sacred Cow, somebody else, better than anything in Lamb of God's discography.
God damn it. Why are you coming at all of us, man?
I'm just waiting for him to throw Amon Ra into the bus next, and just
he just shoots us all down. Just Amon, band shoots us.
He's like, I didn't shoot. It's his own shootout. Okay, Corral, but instead of shooting the blast, he shoot other people's blast down. Because
I don't feel that Gabe has the sacred cows that the rest of us do. So
maybe it's just because I haven't been listening to the same bands as long. But
yeah,
I don't know. I also feel like I tried Amun-Ra, you guys, and you were just like meh, and it didn't make too much of a splash. So
that did happen. We were like.
Yeah, this is a thing that happened to us.
It did occur. Look it up. Experience Look it up on the schedule.
Gay's like, I had this religious experience when I saw him live, and
damn it. Sorry.
I'm not mad about it.
Look, it's not a blast you designed for Ben that Ben then shot.
Right, that's true.
It wasn't Baroness, at least.
Baroness. Oh, you thought you liked this. I don't. I don't like you either.
I don't design blasts that way. I design blasts to hurt other people. That's the best way to do it.
Noted with your next pick.
fucking oh my god, what's that thing that's coming up?
Converge.
Damn it. I know it was like contour. Conjure. I was going
contour.
Contour Airlines. Anyway, yes, yeah. Converge. Cannot wait, but must.
But back in clutch, apparently.
Back on clutch.
Ben is willing to put his back up against and shoot everybody else down when it comes to it.
That's fair.
I mean, I probably misspoke about Lamb of God because I think they do have an album like better than this one.
I just
didn't want Tracy to be singled out in violence alone.
No, and I know you're trying to draw me out like the sniper in Full Metal Jacket, so I'm not going to walk out until I. Right.
It's like, come on.
Like, yeah, next guy walks out. Anyway, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. I want to watch
Band of Brothers. What is that? Band of Brothers?
Yeah, they're totally. Brothers. It's when Vin Diesel gets shot. Yeah. And they're like, it's Vin Diesel. Let's see you break your cast now. Okay, I think that was the word.
Right.
But anyway, well, we've covered a lot of important ground here.
Yeah, I
think this album, did we conclude it? I feel like we did.
We got to talk about tracks.
Those tracks. Yes. Who wants to go first? Gay? I'm trying to think who hasn't gone first yet. Heard Ben.
Take the ride.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, I want to say Take the Ride because it's a clutch album. And even a bad clutch album is still a good clutch album.
We're just chugging here.
We're turning this into Hydro Homies podcast. That's what it is.
God.
But I will say, like, Struck Down, Abraham Lincoln, Witch Doctor, Freakonomic, the last three, Freakonomics, Aguja Combedio, and Sleestak Lightning, are all just fun as fuck.
Yeah, I think Sleestak Lightning is probably my favorite track on the album.
It's fun.
But like Abraham Lincoln through Witch Doctor is pretty awesome. It's a pretty good run.
Every one of these songs is really good and has aged well. I like this album even more than I did at the time. I'm gonna give a shout out for fucking 50,000 Sapo Watts. That whole run from Struck Down into Abraham Lincoln is so good. And I really love, man, The Amazing Kreskin. It's like one of the most thoughtful songs they've ever fucking written. That Witch Doctor are good. And then again, as you said, Sleestak Lightning is such a good closer. I don't know, this album is good shit.
Yeah.
I
think in some ways Sleestak Lightning is like the quintessential weirdness
that's coming later. Yes, it's like the werewolf is coming out on Earth Rocker. No, that's when they, that's when they just let their freak flag fly.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I'm
super here for it.
Me too.
Pa-kao. Which I guess brings us to the last album, their 12th studio album, Book of Bad Decisions, released on September 7th, 2018 on Weathermaker Music. 56:54 was the runtime. Vance Powell was the producer. Neil Fallon, vocals, rhythm guitar, Tim Salt, lead guitar, Dan Maines, bass, John Paul Gaster, drums. There are some additional musicians on this one. Chris Brooks comes in and plays the Wurlitzer, the Hammond, and piano. Mike Dillon does some percussion and vibraphone. Kevin Gatsky plays tenor and baritone saxophone and does the horn arrangement. Benny Siocchi, I apologize if I mispronounced that, on trumpet, and Roy Agee on trombone and bass trombone.
I think he had a Floridian sit there and said blast instead of last. I think you said the blast album on this. Nothing. Never mind. I just kind of, but I mean, if it's is a well designed pun, if it was not intentional, if not, you did it on purpose. We'll just say you did.
I didn't do it on purpose. If I did it at all,
so. Oh,
I will not steal the valor of that pun.
Oh, okay, no stolen pun valor.
No.
But Book of Bad Decisions. So this was my first Clutch album I ever listened to, because obviously it's 2018. Surprise, surprise for everybody involved there. David's face right now is, he says it all.
The Albaning, or where you listen to every album produced in a single year.
Tried. I didn't get close. No, I don't think I got remotely close. But it's funny, this being like a person's introduction to Clutch, because this is like the most... At least what I would say the most, I feel like this word may come across too harsh, but it's like the most generic Clutch album. Like this is the one that I think that does the least compared to the ones we've done so far. It just kind of a little formulaic, is maybe a little harsh on it as well, like compared to everything else before. But it feels like this is the one that just kind of like by the numbers Clutchness.
Like by numbers Clutch is what
David's dying on the inside right now.
How could you
do this? He's trying to like grab Tracy's neck through the screen. He's like unable to do it. He's so frustrated.
He's like, the force choke doesn't work through his screen.
You just came in and pissed on his shoes, dude. It's like what you just did.
This album is so good though. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Tracy.
Well, like, I'm not saying it's bad, but like, this is the least, like,
this is a better Clutch album than you have ever put out.
It is, but I feel like just looking at the discography around it, everything else is just better.
Damn it. Okay, fine.
Because I mean, you had Sunrise and Slaughter Beach before, after this, you had Psychic Warfare before it.
Hey, I know.
I mean, it's just like, somewhere in discography, this many albums, one of them's going to be like, now, okay, outside of Transnational Speedway and Clutch, I haven't heard. Like, outside of the early ones, like, I would say Transnational Speedway is worse than this one. But, like, of the Since the Turn and the song, like, playing, like, this is just the one that's kind of like, you got to have a weak one somewhere. This just happens to be it.
David's so stunned.
He's just set to, like, hang up and just walk away.
I just want to walk away. He's like, I didn't sign up for this.
He's got a very "You Were the Chosen One" vibe feel going to him.
Damn it!
A little bit.
Look, I have fond memories of being in a sewage grate with Ben listening to this album. So I really need this right now, man. I don't know. I think this album is so quintessentially Clutch, and I think they give so little of a fuck by this point that I have to like it more than Tracy likes it. By law is law.
So what I will say is this is a very solid album. These tracks sound better live than they do on the album, I think.
Damn it.
But, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with this, Tracy's take, but I see where he's coming from, because I do think that this is where the other Clutch around it is so good that this just kind of feels like, oh, this is another good album. It is the way that people talk about Divine Intervention.
I like that record.
I do too. I love Divine Intervention. And I think this is really good. But, you know, it's surrounded by some all-time classics.
Yeah, I'm beginning to see that my lack of context is kind of hurting my ability to evaluate this. But for me, this was the most enjoyable by far of the blast. Because it seems to me as if they don't really give a fuck by this point, they're really, like, confident in what they're doing. They're at the peak of their powers, and they're producing some really hooky, like really funky, way the fuck out there, like stuff.
They're
playing it still nasty, you know. Like they're, and it kept me engaged in a way that, you know, some of the other records we listened to for this did not. And I think it's precisely because they're not, you know, focused on paying homage to the blues, which they don't need to do, but they feel like they should do or could do. And they're also like not trapped in like, let's be really weird, because they're like, our normal is weird. We don't need to be really weird. So yeah, I mean, I was really impressed by it, and I had a lot of fun with it, to be honest.
Yeah, my grades will reflect the same, even if they will be wildly overflated over Gabe's. This is my favorite of the night. This album is so fucking good. They're so, exactly as you say, dialed in on what they do. There's so many good songs on here. This album is fucking epic. I think it's better than Sunrise.
Yeah, sure. I want to go back and see what I think, but I think that I would still say that this is better than that.
I do too.
It's been a little while.
I love Clutch, and I like that last album, but I think this one's better.
I think I'm an inverse. I think I like Sunrise better than this.
Sure.
I think this is just as good an album as Sunrise.
Now, I do think part of it is also they didn't play a single track off this, like we talked about.
No, they just done the tour. That's really common. Like whatever the last album was, you're just over it.
And so you kind of get like that weird, like I didn't have that, like, you know, you see them live, like the visual audio thing.
Well, I get it.
Thing just kind of falls into place.
I saw this tour twice. I know.
And so like there was nothing on there like I had like that. Oh yeah, I remember this. And there might be part of that aspect to it as well.
I saw this tour most other than I guess probably Blast Iron, which I fucking love even more than this one. But yeah, this album is fucking good. God, this album is good. And I have so many powerful memories of it carrying forward into the present. And that eagle, that's Clutch, winking over its shoulder at you.
100%. That does really capture the essence of Clutch with that album.
That album cover is totally what they are. Fuck, and I love this record. Anyway, tracks? Is that where we're at?
I think so.
Who hasn't gone? It's somebody. It ain't me.
I think Gabe.
I think it's Gabe, too. Too much too harassed.
I mean, I went first on the last one, but I can go
Ben?
Again.
Then it's Ben?
I thought I went first already, but I'll go first.
I think it's.
So, Book of Bad Decisions, all-timer. And Walks Barbarella, really damn good. Emily Dickinson, all-timer. Ghoul Wrangler, all-timer. Hot Bottom Feeder, all-timer. Laura Lee, all-timer. The rest of it's kind of mediocre.
I, like Ben, want to be in the room when the AR guy hears the pitch for Hot Bottom Feeder.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, wait, 100%. What? Crabs?
I'm going to make this give a recipe.
It's a recipe. I'm going to make this very easy. You know what I'm going to say. All from start to finish, you're a fucking coward. All.
I like Spirit of 76. I think Give Me the Keys is a good one. And Walks Barbarella is a great album. I agree with Ben Emily Dickinson. And then I think Lorelei is a fantastic closer. But I mean, this is. I didn't want it to be harsh when I talked about it, but I think this, when you rank albums, one's going to have to be on the bottom somewhere. And I think this is the Tracy. One for me that it is.
No, but Tracy,
you're Tracy, wrong.
You're
just,
wrong.
Just
you're wrong. I'm with Gabe on that. I love those other albums, but this album is better.
And y'all are wrong about some things too. But
it's prove it, math. He has a spreadsheet. Times Gabe and David are wrong.
It's just werewolves is just wrong.
Werewolves lying through it. Cavernous death metal. Anyway, yes. Who is not God?
Me.
Gabriel.
So I would say Take the Ride or Are You a Coward? But also, I think the last third is probably my favorite piece of it. But I do like The Ride. Like Ghoul Wrangler and like Hot Bottom Feeder.
Yes.
So good.
That end run. I agree. So good. Hell yes. Refreshing.
It is now time to upset David.
No
on
tea.
Multiple occasions. On multiple ways and multiple occasions.
Blah, blah, blah. I know.
Time to test David's friend, how he feels about your friendship. Let's go with that.
Fine. I feel good about it.
All right. Elephant Riders. David, you did this.
That is, I'm going to grade it really low. 92. It's a 92.
Oh,
I thought you said an 82. And I was like,
how dare you, sir? Like,
what?
I just hang up.
Boy.
What? No, 92, Tracy. It's me. I got on the ride then. I'm not going to make it an A. That is a huge concession to the Dean's agenda, but it's 92. Shut up. Everyone, shut up.
I'll come in at a 82.
Damn it. That's fair.
I'm going to come in between you guys. I'm going to give this an 87.
All right. I'm right where Tracy is at an 85.
At 85? I said 87.
Yeah. I know. It's the same grade, Tracy, practically.
Emotionally, it's the same.
Emotionally, it's the same.
Oh, shit. Yep. I guess it's an average of something.
80. It gives an average of 87.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I'd buy this album.
I did. 100 times in Will Again.
This is my concession to brand whoring. I would buy all of these albums.
Yes, that's the answer.
David just feels glad he's not alone. That's
I'm not alone for once. I'm not going to be afraid anymore. Yes, I would buy all these albums. You know the answer to that. I did buy all these albums. I did.
Sure.
Did. Everyone.
I'd buy this album as well.
Yeah, why not?
From Beale Street to Oblivion.
94A.
94A. I'm in the exact same boat. 94. I'm going to jump on that wagon.
I'm not where you guys are, unfortunately. I will give this an 85 as well.
Where Tracy is? I'm just kidding.
Tracy's not going to be there.
I'm right there with you guys. I'm going to give this a 94 as well.
Yeah! Yes! What's the average of 90?
What I gave Screws. Let's see. What did I give? Okay. I'm just looking to see about previous grades to see if that actually kind of matches with what I wanted. And yeah, for the most part, yeah, that's about where...
The spreadsheet of yourself you have?
Well, of what our grades in the past. Yes.
Am I myself? The spreadsheet? Ben knows I'm right.
Did I gain sentience? Is this all just a dream? Like, is this all just a robot dreaming of electric sheep? Is that what this is going on?
Yes. It's a butterfly dreaming. It's a man. Anyway, yes.
The average is a 92.
Ah, hell yes.
And I think three of us would buy this album.
Yes. 100 times, yes.
All right. I gave with you. That is the one.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's a look it up, everyone. It's
an album.
It's an album.
Strange Cousins from the West. I'm gonna go first. I think I'm gonna start this one off a little bit lower than probably David for sure, and then maybe the other two. Mm-hmm. But yep. I'm gonna give this a B, an 85.
Sure.
I liked it a little bit better than that, so I'm gonna give this an 88. B plus.
I'm right there with Tracy. I'll give it an 85 as well.
I have really come to appreciate this album as I've come to appreciate Mortality and the Destiny of Ruination. So I'm going to give this a 94 also. Shut up.
All right.
Right. Yep.
That gives us an average 88.
Hell yes.
Would you buy this album?
You know.
Oh. Yep.
Sure. Why not?
Hell yes. So many sales made tonight.
A book of bad decisions.
All right. I'm going to start us off. Probably not the highest grade, but definitely up there with a 94.
It's not the highest because I'm going to give it the 97. Fuck you. Yes, this is
97.
There was no way I was going to beat that.
It's a 97. It's not the highest A plus, but it is an A plus because fuck the world. 97.
Well, I'm going to be the bookend probably on this. And I'm going to give it a B minus an 82.
Damn it, Tracy.
Yeah, you're going to be the bookend because I'm going to give it an 85.
You said 85?
Yeah.
You did.
That gives an average of 90. David doing 97, doing some heavy lifting there.
Yes, it's going to medical school in Barbados. I mean, wherever it's going. Grenada. Buying it? I mean, I don't need to even say.
Maybe. At this point, I would have bought most of the discography, so I'd probably go collectionist and just like, fuck it, let's finish it.
Well, you know I'd come over and look at your shelf and it was missing. I'd be like, dude, Tracy.
Where the fuck is this at?
All you care about is 2018. Where is this album?
All of a sudden, it shows up on my doorstep in an Amazon package. Just like, whoa.
You're damn right. The 8-track. With cassette singles. 12 cassette singles show up.
There you go. Gabe, and you buy this one with your grade, it looks like?
Absolutely.
See?
Clutch has made a lot of money off us.
Das ist gut, so. Yeah, of course. Fuck it. It's Clutch, y'all.
Yep. They have made a lot of money on some of us.
No, some of us a whole bunch. Multiple shows, merch, so much merch. Anyway, yep. Well, I appreciate you all going on this Clutch ride with me in a Clutch way.
This is very Clutch of you.
It's metal enough. Metal enough, I hope. So
it's just we added just the right randomness of conversation to it tonight to make it worthy of Clutch.
Metaler than you are.
Metaler than you are. Speaking of you and R, Tracy, what's happening next?
Next, courtesy of Mr. Gabriel, yeah. We are doing Converge.
Oh. Sorry. I'm sorry. That was some.
I'm gonna make sure that's in there.
You're gonna take that blast and you're gonna like it.
It's been threatened for so long. It became like a mantra.
Well, basically, I definitely would not have done it if, you know, I hadn't heard from the get-go that it was gonna land badly. Like, and then I was just like, I gotta do it.
They pay me every time I do. Yeah, I know what's happening here.
I'm pretty excited for one of your picks on there because I've been meaning to, like, hey, to pick that album. But since you're getting your blast, I'm perfectly happy with it.
Nice.
I meant to conceal that reaction, and I apologize.
No, you didn't. You just wanted to be known as like,
no, I like so many things on this podcast, but occasionally I don't like them. And Converge was one of those moments, as was Not Clockwork Orange.
It's always good when you get like things that you don't like on a blast, because then you just hit them over and over and over again.
Oh, do you mean the Code Orange blast? God damn it.
No, I meant the King Diamond.
Yes.
Spectacular.
I deserved it. I also made you all listen to Clutch for hundreds of hours and Slayer when it wasn't Slayer.
My favorite. Fun.
Damn it. All right. Well, I'm very excited about that. And I want to thank the Boston and Massachusetts Departments of Education for subsidizing Gabe's life so well by inflicting Converge on us four times.
This is where the check really clears.
This is where the check really clears.
He's got the new house he's got to pay for. That's what
I mean. No, that house was given to him by them because of this, I suspect. And that's fair.
I'm just trying to live by, you know, John F. Kennedy's sage advice, which is ask not what your podcast can do for you, but what you can do for your podcast.
Oh, fuck.
And remember, you don't do this podcast because it's easy. You do it because of the hard things.
God damn it. Right. Okay.
Sometimes it is the hard thing. That is 100% true.
I cannot with this Camelot shit. What is happening? Okay.
We have broke David tonight. I think that's
it's too much. Okay, I'm just gonna take it like a man, the same way I'm sure Tracy felt with the werewolves blast that I'm gonna devise.
Were you to devise a werewolves blast? It's released four albums that you didn't pick immediately.
But they would in like 4 minutes. That's the thing. Give it all. I have to do is not pick them for a year, and they'll probably be there.
4 years, and it probably
There's things like werewolves, Tracy. Thy Artist Murder blast.
I'm down for that.
I bet you are too. I'm like, Ben's like, yeah, don't threaten me with a good time. Like, I know you're like, this album kicks that last album in the dick. I was like, oh shit. Your words make an impression, Ben. Okay. Indeed. I feel like we really did Clutch justice this evening with some of the most on task dialogue yet.
I agree there.
I feel solid.
Ooh, and just for the record, having quickly scrolled through, Clutch is now tied with some other bands for the second most albums by any single artist that we've reviewed.
Fuck yes.
Who's number one, Gar?
Slayer. Gar.
Gar. Yes! Tracy, it's your fault. Tracy was like, ugh. And I'm gonna hit those other Gars because there's some that are missing.
It's like two Scum
Dogs. So. Yeah. Indeed. I have this shit we didn't do blast with those and more Clutch, like two Guard, two Clutch, which would be a weird combination, but why not? Anyway,
or just do that as a grab bag. Like, shit we didn't do, just
shit we didn't do because we're missing like
three. Shit by albums or albums by bands who we have not finished their discography.
We've not finished the discography. We've got some Metallica, right?
Like we have some Slayer.
We have some Slayer, even what? Like hell, we did Hell Awaits, but we didn't do Awaiting.
Well, we didn't do
Awaiting the before. Stuff.
Yeah.
And or Undisputed Attitude.
Oh, yes. I think that's on the list though, because we have that covers album blast coming up.
That sounds right.
I don't think anybody's picked it yet. We'll say that.
Oh well, then I'm. I'm well, I guess I'm going to.
Hooray! Well, that will finish up that cover. Back. That's what's going to happen.
Hooray! Hooray for me, Billy.
Well, everyone, thanks for tuning in on this very diverse topic of Clutch discography blast. Tune in next time here on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Bacaw. Fucking bacaw.